Stephen Jewell here.
Good day.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, Entertaining Land Investment Talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about managing communication with sellers, brokers, and buyers. This is show number 1321.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's amazing.
Wow. And we still have stuff that we haven't covered.
We have a ton of stuff we haven't covered.
Jesus,
actually.
Man. How many more of these are we going to do? How many more are we going to do, by the way?
When people stop listening. That's when I'll stop.
We have not talked about that.
Our listenership continues to go up and has gone up with a couple of exceptions since we started this.
I'm sure.
It doesn't go down.
Especially, I bet, with COVID times and that going on. I bet there's more listeners now because people can.
Viewers, not so much for a lot of reasons. listeners, they keep going up.
Why not? What's not great to look at here? Here.
If we put a big black thing right across here, and it was just you, we would probably do great on YouTube.
Thanks. Maybe that's it. Wow. Hey, it's Jill. Oh, who's that guy?
Yep. No. Somebody said, with you, Jack, Jill's a 9. Without you, she's a 12. Did you see that?
No. Seriously? Yeah. Who said that?
I don't know. Somebody on the...
Oh, my gosh.
It was somebody on the Thursday call.
Well, thank you. Oh, you know what? I do remember that, actually. That was good. That was funny.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Tal wrote, has anyone ever bought a road in an HOA? Not sure why you would, but I recently came across a lot with a motivated seller. It turns out that the lot is actually a road in an upscale HOA. If I purchase, the HOA would have to pay me. If I purchase, would the HOA have to pay me to use the road? I'm wondering what I need to check next. What do you do? Put a gate up at each end and say, eh, no one's getting through.
Pass
it's my road.
Pass.
Yeah.
Like a bully in a grade school yard. Where's your lunch money? Yeah.
So you know, I decided this road is going to be a parking lot. Like, what the heck? Apparently, this is not an easy question.
It's an easy question for
me. Well, I know it is for me, too. We're saying, for you and I know exactly how to handle this. Slash, however, Tal does not know how to handle this. This is why it's coming up. Tal, we are going to help you. Having a road... or having a cemetery, or having a functioning church.
This is a definition of extortion.
Or having a park restroom in your portfolio will do you no good. There's nothing you can do. You don't want this. It's assigned an APN for obvious reasons, but it's nothing that you want.
Let's take a step back. Let's say you're staring in Google Earth at a great piece of property. It's 40 acres and it's everything that we would ever want. It's pretty inexpensive. It's got road access. There's stuff built up around it and it's 1971. It's not 2020. You can have this thought, you know what? I'm going to put a subdivision in there and I can actually accomplish this because the municipalities and the places where I get approval to do this kind of thing aren't crawling with lunacy. They're actually in a frame set where I can, they're pro-development. So I go in, I get an architect, sit down with the architect, look at the 40 acres, say, you know what, we're gonna build a subdivision, we're gonna put this here, this here, this here, this is for condos, this is for the community pool, we're building a master plan community, these are where the houses go, and so we start cutting it all up, we submit it to the planning and zoning department, and they approve it. And in there is all kinds of separate APNs, assessor parcel numbers. For some reason, everywhere in the country this happens. Common areas in this master plan subdivision get assigned an APN, sometimes roads. And so what happens over time is either the HOA owns the roads or they own this leftover property. I don't know why it ever got, I've tried to get to the bottom of why this stuff got assigned an APN, and it just did. If it's got an APN, it's getting taxed. And so tax bills go out to whoever owns this property. Most of the time, it's the HOA. Do they pay it? Heck no. They're looking at it saying, why would I pay the taxes on this property? It's completely useless to us. We're not paying. And so it goes back on the tax rolls and goes back into tax sales. You know, I still go to tax sales and I still see this property. So what this, and it's like free. You could put this road is probably $45, if that. It maybe 25. It's that cheap. So on one end, there's this huge, especially if you're new, it's like, I am going to own a piece of property for 25 bucks. Never mind the taxes on it, or it's $20,000 a year. That's how it got here in the first place on that list. Should you ever buy a leftover property like this? Never. Can you extort people to, you know, put a gate like it? No, you can't. There's a precedent case in San Francisco where two ding-dongs, a man and a woman, bought exactly this. They bought a road in an HOA in a community in San Francisco that where the average house price was like $48 million. It was the community. And it showed up with a cement truck one day. And I don't need to finish the end of the story for you. You know who won that battle. And it wasn't the guy who bought the $45 road.
Right.
Avoid leftover HOA property, whether it's a playground or a road or whatever. Or a lot of times it's a drainage pond. Mm-hmm. So it looks, you know, you can't, it looks like it's all, you know.
Like, oh, they missed this. Why didn't they not build on this piece of dirt? There's a reason why they didn't build on that piece of dirt.
And planning and zoning, like Jill's answer is always, it's called planning and zoning. Once that stuff pops up in NeighborScoop and you think that it's possibly buildable, call planning and zoning and hopefully they're going to tell you. But this is, I get it, Tal, and I'm in a good mood today, so I'm not going to tell you what I really think about this. Today's topic?
I'm glad you're in a good mood today.
Managing communication with sellers, brokers, and buyers. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. This seems like a fluff. I wrote this topic, and this seems like common sense to me, and it seems like fluff. In fact, the whole concept of communication makes me laugh a little bit.
I just laugh. I laugh because you laugh.
Like, it seems like it's something like learning how to drink water.
Like, don't you have to do this? Yeah.
But I'll tell you what. I have one thing to say, Jill, and then I'm going to turn this over to you because I know you have a lot to say. You are either going to be managed in your life or you are going to manage. And sellers are going to call you if you're doing everything right. Tons of buyers are going to call you if you're doing everything right. And you're going to have to deal with brokers and escrow agents and everybody else in your
career.
In this career. And you need to really need to absorb this sentence forever. Somebody said this to me a long time ago, like in junior high, and I never forgot it. You're either going to manage these people or you're not. And that goes with communication. So when these sellers call you, I don't say yell at them right away, but get control of the situation. However you do it, like Sweet Jill's voice, however you do it, manage the situation and manage their communication. And call them and don't just wait for them to call you. Just be very, very proactive. Get it into a CRM. We use Airtable. And get it onto a system where not too much time has passed by, especially with sellers. But you really have to manage your communication. You're right. You pick out certain words in a sentence. Mm-hmm. I'm choosing management. Mm-hmm. You're probably choosing communication.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened.
So interesting.
Yeah.
So take control of the communication situation with everybody in your life, and even in your house and your children.
Yep.
How many times have you seen a two-year-old just run the whole house?
Oh, my gosh. Not our house.
It's
that's
never
for
happened
sure.
In our
oh,
house.
They've tried. They have tried hard.
They still try. Not going to happen.
Not happening. No, but you're right. That's it. So you're today. Today is inspirational.
It's inspirational.
Spotlight or fun fact is how you saw that sentence. I did not see managing as the main focus point in that sentence. I saw communication. And I'm like, all right, so did you cover what you wanted to cover?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I appreciate that. And you're right. I like that. You either manage them or they're going to manage you. And you don't want that. You don't want them calling the shots. It's your deal. You're going to get it done. You're going to tell it. You know, it's really funny to follow up on that one. The number one situation that I have to really get in there and manage people between our whole company is one person, and it's escrow agents.
Yeah, title agents. So I was going to say the same
thing. They, for whatever reason, think they're in charge of the whole thing. They think they're picking the close date. They're picking this. They're picking that and everything. And last time I checked, they work for me. not the other way around. They're not paying me, I'm paying them. So that's the one time that I have to really get in there. And there's a nice way to do it. So, and everybody wins. So back to the communication part.
Back to the topic.
Yes.
Back to Jill's topic.
So I read this topic and I thought, I saw, you know, communicating. How are you going to communicate with these guys? Because this is also very important too. You have 18 things going on. You got sellers you're working with, brokers, buyers, escrow agents, whatever it is. So how do you best communicate with them to get the desired effect, which is you want to get what you want, when you want it, for the price you want? That's the whole point of all this.
Oh, good point, Joe.
Thank you.
That's the whole point. It's get a good deal done.
Uh-huh. When you want it done and everybody on the same page, you want everybody, you don't want anybody mad too. You want this all to be a pleasant experience for everyone. So one of the things that I do with quickly is try to figure out how this person best communicate. Maybe it's a broker that they love texting. I found that a lot. Maybe it's an escrow agent that they are all email because they have so many things going on. It's email, 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 email. And maybe with the seller, you know, and the buyer, you know, especially sellers, they seem to be, especially if they're older, they're phone people. This newfangled email thing, it's funny. Forget it.
I noticed that too. I don't want to interrupt you because you're on a flow here. Mm-hmm. I've really noticed that you can almost pinpoint people's age by their choice of communication.
Yes, exactly right. It's funny because my dad was not a texter at all. So, but he would text a few little things. So we had codes for everything because he would put CWA, call when available. That was it. That was all I would get.
That's how you used
texting. Isn't that cute? That's how he used texting. Never asked me what the question was or never say, hey, you coming over for dinner on Saturday or whatever it is. No, it was just CWA. That was all. I'm like, okay, Dad, I gotcha.
You know, he's not that far off. That's what texting originally was supposed to be about.
Yeah.
Now we have full keyboards on our phones.
Exactly.
That was probably flip phone time.
Exactly. It was. Yeah, and then because he passed, shucks, 11 years ago. Yeah, that's funny. So that's number one. Learn how they communicate best and work with them that way because you will get the best result. If I keep leaving this escrow agent 18 voicemails, she's not going to get to them. They're stacked up so long, it's not even funny. She's an email pro. She reads it 3 times a day. I've learned her patterns. Just do that. Number two, when you're communicating with buyers and sellers, brokers, agents, whatever it is, we have found within our company, I'm lucky that we're at the level now that we can do this. We divide them up. Like, I work with sellers, and maybe buyers a little bit, mostly on the sellers. That's really the only person that I talk to anymore. I have other people that handle the inbound calls from buyers. And I have other people that handle all the escrow and getting the transactions done. So divide them up and stay out. Once you do that, stay the heck
this is good stuff, out Jill.
Of the other person's turf.
Great stuff.
Because all you're going to do is mess them up. Remember when you and I, way back when, you would come along, I'm negotiating a deal, I've talked to this guy, I've got it done, locked in, he's sending me back a purchase agreement. I come downstairs or I find out or went into your office, whatever it was, and found out that
it was both.
Yeah, you had accidentally talked to him. You didn't mean to. You weren't trying to do anything.
We didn't have our groove yet.
Yeah.
And there was no such thing as Land Academy.
Next thing I know, you were buying it for more than I had negotiated. Yeah. I'm like, what the heck? And we hadn't got that groove down. So we learned real quickly, and I want to save you too. We have a lot of husband wives in our groups. We have a lot of brothers doing things together in groups. We have father son. We have a lot of different partnerships. I know that within our group. And if you haven't had this happen yet, good. Let me save you. Divide it up and stay the heck out of the other person's stuff. Just ask for a way that they let you know what's going on. Like, we do it in Airtable. Like, I know with my team who talked to who, what their last communication was, what the next phone call is going to be, and everything. I can go look at it and I have to bug them too. And I'm not stepping on their toes. That would be, I can't even imagine right like now. We had a closing on Friday that was not going well because this escrow agent kept misspelling things. And then she'd go back to fix it. Like, so I asked my person, can you just write it for them? Ask them to copy and paste it then do another DocuSign real quick. And they were copying, then they were sending the wrong version of the DocuSign again and again and again. I'm like, I was about to lose it, right? The worst thing that could have happened would have been if I got on the phone and called that agent and told them what I really thought. You know, my person had a good relationship with them, and she now to nicely say, oops, you did it again. And it was like three times, I'm not kidding, sent the wrong thing. And I'm like,
this is a good time to bring this up. The reason that escrow agent got to close that deal, we already knew she was faulty, was because when we bought it, she did the deal. Mm-hmm. And we knew, like, on the buy side, we knew there was going to be issues. Right. I don't know what was going on with her.
Yeah.
And so we had a choice. We could say we could restart this on the sell side. It was just a few months later. Restart this on the sell side, or we can just, you know, take the hit. Just manage this person how she needs. Man, that's what the name of the show is.
Yeah.
Manage the communication with this person to get it done.
Mm-hmm. And you're right, Joe. And it wasn't pretty, and we knew that going into her with her, like you said. We knew when we bought it there was going to be issues. What's funny is I warned my person, I said, who works for me. I said, here are some of the issues that we had when we bought it. But the reason we're going with her is because A, it's a little bit cheaper, and B, it was faster. That it was about speed, because she knew the deal. It would be really easy to do on the sell side. We could close in 10 days versus everybody else was telling us a month. So I'm like, all right, we're just going to suck it up and do it. So we knew it going into it. It was really kind of funny. But that's just my final point, just to say it again. Don't mess with somebody else's deals. Don't get involved. Don't get on the phone. Don't undermine the work that they've laid, the foundation that they've created.
I think my final point is, I think a lot of these things that are involved in this business, people expect, especially new people, that they're just going to kind of happen and unfold. And I'm not a big fan of that. You know, when you call an escrow agent, they need to respond. They need to be accountable. They need to pass your tests, and they need to be managed throughout the situation. Early on in my career, I did a lot of residential deals as an investor. So I'd buy houses and sell them. This is way a long time ago, until I learned very quickly I didn't want to do that anymore. I would shove all the paper. This is before the internet. I would shove all the paper. There's always a file, and shove the file on their desk and say, call me when it's done. That's no communication at all. That's just slapping on somebody's desk. And I was a kid, so it took months to get those deals done. They're unmanaged. You know, please don't be that person. I see commercial real estate agents that make 7 digits a year do that even now.
Yeah.
They have no idea and no interest in learning about the mechanics of getting a deal done. They actually, in some cases, when there's a lot of money in the deal, they hire a lawyer to basically step in as themselves and manage the title agent. So
I'm shocked by that. It happens more than I can't believe how often that happens.
That's the norm.
I'm shocked that deals get done.
Me too.
I'm like, I know that there's been deals that only got done because either me personally or my team pushed them through, solved everything, and was one step ahead of the escrow agent even.
So
heaven forbid that it was like, this is mostly residential stuff that I'm talking about. And it was because there's residential, it was an agent on the other side, on the buy side. And I'm like, how many deals do you have that fall out of escrow? Cause you don't pay attention.
Material percentage.
I'm like, wow.
Well, you're describing me way early in my career, even my land career before you.
Okay.
You know, there's a time, this is funny, you're gonna laugh. I don't know if I've ever told you this.
Okay.
There's a time. This is a million years ago, long before I was actually got consistent deal flow and everything, where I had a meeting with three escrow agents in different parts of the state of Arizona, decided on one in Flagstaff, and I said, and I actually put her name on the mailer and said, call this person and get the deal done and send her the purchase agreements. And it was an absolute disaster. Wow. She was basically acting as the transaction coordinator. And she was playing the role of that, title agent, and Pat Live.
Wow. How did that go over with her? Was she like livid? Like, what did you do?
Exploded in my face.
The planet my phone number.
Exploded in my face.
Oh, I didn't know you did that.
And I didn't learn about it until months and months later. Because
were there any deals that came out of her? Or she just like...
She threw me some bones. She was doing the deals herself.
Oh.
And it was, you know, and she was taking the hate, and her husband got involved, and they're like, It was a joke.
It's kind of funny.
These lessons
you know, but that would have
I learned, are all like, please don't do any of this crazy stuff.
I can see why you tried that.
There's some value in
that.
Rent Academy.
That was good. That was a good idea.
Avoiding communication.
But it was a good idea.
So that's what I do.
Why not send out the offers? I kind of like this. And just hook them right up with the title. I love it. With the escrow agent. I'm like,
worst idea ever.
I know.
Actually, you know what?
How,
it's not the worst idea I've ever had. It doesn't even rank in the top 10.
How to make a bad name for yourself.
In one mailer.
In the escrow community. I wonder if they talk. You know?
Oh, are you kidding?
I wonder if I like don't work with this guy. I wonder if there's like a list.
Yeah. I'm sure I got some kind of horrific reputation. Back in a time where there were so many deals. It was just, you know, there are stacks and stacks and stacks of purchase agreements. So you know what I did? I went up there and I got the stacks of purchase agreements that were all signed. And it was like two or three banker's boxes full of unopened purchase agreements.
That's hilarious. I believe it.
Candyland.
Shoot, is that the stuff that used to be all over the dining room table?
Yes.
I remember.
That's part of it.
Okay.
No, that was way before then.
Okay, all right. Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called Urban Land versus Rural Land. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
That's right. No, those are tax bills now that I think about it.
Yeah. And this was like 1999.
When you were
a long, long time ago.
Yeah, when you're in it, like in it, and if you're doing, like, we do fewer deals but bigger deals, by choice. But we have a lot of members that started small, and they like small. They're happy with the small. It's fun for them small, and they just they'll do you know, 50 a month, 100 a month. It's no big deal. And when you're going through those properties like that, like you've done like an insane level, I don't even want to go there, but that's how you can say we've got close to 16,000 transactions because of the level that he did them for several years was mind-boggling. But what happens is you get when the mail comes at tax time, it's comical to go, what the heck, to see all the postcards. Some are postcards, some are little, you know, it's in an envelope, you know, letting you know it's tax time for the property. And usually you've already sold it, but there's just a lag time, you know, it hasn't catch up. And then, anyway, it's just, they can stack up fast.
Every single year, because of, everybody experiences a little bit of staff changing.
Yeah.
Somebody opens those letters, like a new person who works for us, and they end up saying, you have some serious tax problems. Like, is my paycheck going to clear?
Yeah, they do.
You got 1,600 final notice tax bills.
Yeah. That's funny. That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Like the movies, you know, it's red.
I wonder.
Past due.
Dude, I wonder what they do think.
That's what, like, they think.
Yeah. No one's ever come to me, but I could see someone going.
Come to me.
I could see someone going, what's going on here? Is this a shady operation? Yeah. That's hilarious. Like, no, that's very far behind. It's the counties, really. That just happens. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you find our content valuable, and we do appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please check out our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
And your comments and suggestions help us to create the type of content you're here for. Hitting the like button on your favorite episodes helps to support our channel's algorithm. Engage your interest for future shows. It's all about the data.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.